Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Aaron Portsline covers the Blue Jackets for The Athletic, and they have an enormous game now again on Saturday, I believe, in D.C., at their newly named arena this year. I've been calling it the Verizon Center for months, maybe even a year, but a year ago they changed the name of it. That's where they're playing the hockey game where the Blue Jackets won the first two games in overtime. Then they went home and blew both games. Aaron, what did you think when you went home with a 2-0 lead and watched them melt down in those two home games?
Oh, God, you're thinking, why can't anybody win a game at home in this series? What's the deal? What's the disadvantage of playing at home here? I think Columbus gets a little worked up in their home barn. Like the angst that should be delivered to the ice level as electricity and energy somehow paralyzes them. And they played their worst game in a long, long time last night. It's just the basics of hockey abandoned them at the worst possible time. So it's all squared now. But it sure feels like Washington has the advantage back.
Yeah, I couldn't believe frankly, what happened? Like, I they were out skating them. I thought they were out playing them. And then they went home. And, I mean, I thought the first game was a good game for them, game three. And then I thought game four was a disaster.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's weird. Like, you know, if you think about it, Washington leads the series 2-2 right now. I mean, that's how it feels. Like, it's now a three-game series, and they go home, obviously, with two of them. But the other way you can look at this, like I know that the games have been close. The first two went to overtime. They've played almost 300 minutes now in this series. Columbus has had the lead for just over 17 minutes of it. That's it. Like, they haven't had a lead since game two. And Washington, it feels like it's starting to tilt their way. It certainly did in game four. Very curious to see what Columbus looks like in game five, because they've not looked good for quite a while now. The other thing quickly is Alexander Wennberg not being in the lineup for them has just taken away all of their secondary scoring. Not all by himself, obviously, but the line that he was on with Vanek and Jenner was so good for the last 6 weeks, and it's disappeared. They're now down to one line that they can count on for offense, and that is a hard way to get by in the playoffs.
All right, so tell me this again. What line has been damaged because of injury?
Wennberg had been skating with Boone Jenner and Thomas Vanek, which I'll grant you, it was an oddly composed line, but for the last 6 weeks of the regular season and the first couple games of the playoffs, first game anyways before Wennberg got hurt, it looked like a really, really good line. It was putting up major points and taking some pressure off the top line. And that's been gone, and now the lines, the second to fourth lines for Columbus have just been all over the place as they're trying to generate some form of offense. It's not been easy.
So we all know how good your goalie is. Are you surprised how he got lit up the other night?
Yeah, I mean, there are a couple in there I think he went back. One was an empty net goal, so count three on him. He wasn't great, certainly. On the whole, I think Bobrovsky has had a really good playoffs, and it's been a really good news for Columbus because historically he has not had good playoffs. That's been the one line on his resume that has been missing. He's been a fantastic regular season goalie, two Vezina Trophy winners, but he has been abysmal, frankly, in the playoffs. This year, he's looked like himself in the playoffs. Not a great game in game four. The only thing you can say is, and I was talking to former goaltender Ron Tugnutt, who said, you know, the goal that ended it in game three was kind of a lucky bounce goal, went off the defense, went off Lars Eller's skate and into the net. But you can say that was not a great rebound by Bobrovsky either. So maybe you put a little bit of that on him as well, but he has been under immense pressure in this series. 54 saves in game two. He has proven himself to be a better playoff goaltender than he has in any of his previous seasons. He is hardly the issue for Columbus.
So obviously, Aaron Portsline with us covers the Jackets for the Athletic. Obviously, they're in the middle of this brutal series. And it's no joke. Three of the four games overtime, very stressful. I thought Foligno, I remember hearing him after the game saying something like that they just aren't shooting the puck enough at the goal. They're not crashing the crease enough. They're not getting enough pucks on net. And then I'm sitting there watching them, you know, do exactly that in those games at home. My question is, do you feel like, because, you know, I think a lot of people are always talking about that last year they should have beaten Pittsburgh and all this rhetoric. And then that there is there any slight scent of the fact that they could be thinking about them and, you know, wanting, you know, in the midst of this series, all they really want is to beat Pittsburgh in the next round, and they're losing sight of what they're doing in front of them.
You know, they are. I think Columbus is, and certainly the fans are, obsessed. Is that too strong a word? Preoccupied with Pittsburgh.
That's what I mean.
Historically, but I really, honestly, I don't think that is an issue. I don't think that has affected their play at all. I mean, they're a severe underdog against Washington too. Let's not kid ourselves. We're talking the fourth place Metro team and the first place Metro team of President Surfy winning the last couple of years. Washington's giving them all they can handle. I mean, honestly, they may have catered the end of the season a little bit to avoid Pittsburgh in the first round, but I don't get any sense that they are preoccupied thinking about them. I know that they want them. I know they think they want them in the second round, but yeah, I don't see that affecting them right now. I think they've got all they can handle with Washington.
Right? Do you think, were you surprised when you saw Pittsburgh blew that home game tonight?
Quite. Yes. I mean, how unbelievable was that in Pittsburgh?
I mean, I thought what was unbelievable to me was giving up the shorthanded goal when you're up 2-1. That means you're going to lose.
Yeah, and what do you think about Malkin? Because that left knee, there were a couple of falls after that collision where it looked like there wasn't a ton of support in that leg. Am I wrong?
Yeah, I think there's definitely a concern now after he had that. It seemed hyperextended his left leg. That would certainly pose a huge problem for them if he's not able to, you know, be effective or whatever. Avalanche just tied that game up with 4 minutes left after they got shafted on that goal by Foligno or Bonino that wasn't a goal. But they just got a Landeskog goal with 4 minutes left, so that game's turning into a really good game tonight. Do you feel that Pittsburgh will still finish off Philly?
Yes.
So,
that's a nice brief answer.
But so do you, let me ask you this question. As far as Torts is concerned, we all know the guy can coach flat out. And then eventually, you know the deal, he wears out his welcome wherever he is with his, he's so harsh and so miserable to be around. That's all there is to it. Like eventually everybody wants to kill him after about a year or two. Everyone in New York did, even though he's a great coach. Has he at all, in your view, started to wear on these players, or is it all still gravy with him there?
You know, it's interesting to me that, and I'm not arguing with you. He was in Vancouver for 1 year. Sure. Unavoidable. How long was he in Tampa? 6 years, 7 years?
Yeah, I mean, he's a great coach. I won't deny it, but he's, you know, he's worn out his welcome.
Well, he pisses people off, yeah. But I think there's a lot. I mean, doesn't Daryl Sutter? I think, and I'm not defending the guy. He's not mine to defend. But I think sometimes the YouTube clips become like the personality. And I know a lot of guys. I'll be honest with you. When they hired him here, I called like everybody I know who played for him and said, "Tell me why this guy's crazy." I couldn't find a guy that said, "I hate this guy. I hate him." What I found was people saying, there were times where I wanted to kill him, but he made me so much better, and I so much appreciate it now. That's all over the league. Now, I grant you, there are some people that have flamed out and gone away. A lot of those guys probably weren't NHL guys anyways. Talk to Mike Penn St. Louis about him. He does have a coarseness about him. Personally, I love the give and take. He's unbelievable copy. I think a lot of the players here in 3 years have gotten to know him at a level and at a depth that they didn't fully understand was there before. There is a coarseness there. There's not a bunch of politically correct mumbo-jumbo happy just talk and say words to make people feel good. It doesn't play that game. But I think once you get to know him, I think a lot of people see a different side of him. And I think this group is okay with him. He certainly deserves a ton of credit for where he's at. I'm sure there are people in the room that want to kill him. I'm sure that's not going to change, but I think that's the case for a lot of players in a lot of cities. He's just maybe more hopeful.
So you think he likes his gig there in Columbus and wants to keep going?
I know he likes it, yeah, for sure. And I don't know how long it lasts. I'm not pretending to say that. But he loves it here. I think he wants it to last. He's got a really young team, and there's some promising players here.
So the cover in the franchise, it's healthy. I mean, it's going well in Ohio.
For sure. Yeah. You know, it's a really interesting sign for me. And financially, the organization's better now. They've reworked a lot of the stuff with the release. They've been through some stuff that a lot of teams go through. The one really healthy barometer for me is what the hockey community is like. And if you look around the league, you see NHL prospects born and raised in Columbus all over the league. Jack Rossovic in Winnipeg, Connor Murphy in Chicago, Sean Corrali in Boston. These are Columbus kids that have made their way to the NHL. And it's a thriving hockey community that a lot of people aren't aware of, haven't been aware of for probably too long.
So Colorado just scored to take the lead with a minute and a half to go in that game in Nashville. Looks like they might very well. We'll see, but it looks like they might get a game six back at the Pepsi Can. What do you think of that?
Unbelievable. You know what's crazy? Well, these guys had 48 freaking points last year.
Think yeah, it's crazy.
As bad as the Blue Jackets have been historically, they've never had fewer than 57 points in a season. That's before three-point games. These guys had 48 points. It's insane that they're doing this right now.
Yeah, and even without Duchesne.
Yes, especially without him. Maybe because of being without him.
Maybe. I you might be right. Now, let me ask you this question lastly. With this Capitals team you're playing in this series, how much does it surprise you that covers the league for a living that they have never got it done, this bunch, with all that talent and all that money and all the skill and speed? And I mean, they're so loaded, it's not even funny. And then every single year, they bite it.
Yeah, they've never made it out of the second round with Alexei and Ovechkin, which is crazy. And remember, the league has not always had this current playoff format, so they weren't always playing Pittsburgh in the second round. It is unbelievable, and it weighs on them, too. I mean, we talked about how Columbus has struggled playing at home. Washington's had a hard time playing at home, too. There is an angst in the air in that building. And they were up both of the first two games up 2-0 on Columbus and could not deliver the knock that much. And the longer it goes on, you get those feelings creeping back in where, oh, boy, here it goes again. And it is palpable in Washington. It's going to be fascinating to see who emerges from this thing, because you've got one team that's never hasn't made it out of the second
right.
round in 20 years, and another team that's never made it out of first. So something's got to give.
So lastly, overtime question I get. How is the Athletic in terms of, because they've been, we see their growth is, it's just insane. The amount of, you know, really jobs and money they're spending on that Athletic. So my question, what a save by Colorado's goalie right there to tie the game, that with a minute left, he just made a stunning save to save the game in a 2-1 lead. Let me ask you, about the Athletic, like how, because they're doing all these great things and spending all this money and getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. How much do they dedicate to hockey?
That's where it really started for them, to be honest with you. They had great success in Toronto, and we've had great success in Columbus with people. The numbers for hockey are off the charts. That's really the first foray that this company has made. Baseball has been another big push for them now. You suspect the NFL is next. But hockey, they have had great results with people subscribing that are hockey fans. They've had some great hockey writers around the country. And the people that follow it, that's been one of the real, real success stories of this organization.
That's great. I'm glad it's going well. Here's the deal. They just beat the Predators in Nashville and forced game 6 back in Colorado with a stunning 2-1 win. Down 1-0 with 9 minutes to go on a crappy call. They still come back and score 2 goals in the last 9 minutes and win the game. Unbelievable win for Colorado as Nashville chokes. I can't even believe what I just saw. Hey, Aaron, great job talking hockey with us tonight. Enjoy that Jackets-Caps game tomorrow night in D.C. Thanks for coming on the bench. We'll talk again.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.